Yes. Many times of question, certain circumstances and things I could not understand. Many times in trials, weakness blurs my visions. That's when my frustrations get so out of hand. It's then I am reminded I've never been forsaken, and I've never had to stand one test alone. I look at all my victories, the spirit rises up in me, and it's through the fire my weakness is made strong.
That the cross would not get heavy, and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered a victory without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. So just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, and the adversary says, give in, just hold on, our Lord will show up, and he will take you through the fire again.
That I would surely perish, but if I trust the hand of God, he'll shield the flames again, again.
He never promised that the cross would not get heavy,
and the hill would not be hard to
our victories without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. So just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, and the adversary says give in, just hold on, my Lord will show. He will take you through the fire again. Just hold on. My Lord will show up, and he will take you through the fire again.
This morning has just a testimony or know that God has brought you through and that he's bringing you through and that he's going to bring you through. Let's just praise his holy name this morning. Praise God. He will take us through. Hallelujah, hallelujah. As we go to the Lord in prayer this morning, stand with us if you can. We're just going to be respectful to the Lord, and just as we pray and with songs like that, songs of encouragement, our testimonies of praise, just let each and everyone know how great God is. And as we go through, let's lift up the Lord this morning. If you have a prayer request, show by the raising of your hand. And that testimony we're talking about, let's raise that other hand. God has brought us through. Almost gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to praise you this morning. Lord, we want to thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. But dear Lord, for so many times you've carried us through. Dear Lord, so many times, Lord, you've lifted us up. Dear Lord, so many times, dear Lord, you should let your grace be poured out upon us. Dear Lord, so many times, dear Lord, your love is shown. Dear Lord, so many sunrises, dear Lord. So many clear storms, clear skies after the storms, my Lord. Dear Lord, if you just continue, dear Lord, we just want to praise you, dear Lord. We want to worship you, Lord, for each and every healing, dear Lord, for each and every battle that we've been through. Dear Lord, they're nothing compared to the glory that you prepared for us. Dear Lord, as we just pray this morning, dear Lord, we come together as a congregation. Lord, may we lift you up and praise you. Lord, may we be in one mind and one accord, dear Lord. Just release everything that's holding us down. Lord, those burdens that we've brought in, dear Lord, we're releasing them to you. Dear Lord, those prayer requests, dear Lord, that has been spoken, unspoken, and written, Lord, we're releasing them to you this morning, dear Lord, on this beautiful morning that you've given us, dear Lord. Lord, we're so blessed. Dear Lord, we're so honored to be able to come directly to your throne in prayer, dear Lord. We ask you to forgive us for our sins, dear Lord. Strengthen and guide us through this day, dear Lord. Be with our service this morning. Dear Lord, for each and everyone watching online, dear Lord, whether now live or at a later date, may they feel your holy presence, dear Lord, because we know that you're omnipresent, dear Lord. We know that you're able to be here and with each and every one that's watching this feed. Lord, let them feel you, dear Lord. And dear Lord, for those prayer requests that just come forth, dear Lord, we know that you can just take care of those situations that's on our heart. But most of all, dear Lord, we thank you for that salvation, dear Lord, for that precious blood that you shed for us. Lord, we just want to worship you this morning, dear Lord. Lord, we know, dear Lord, when our time comes, Lord, that you will bring us home. Lord, may we continue, dear Lord, and we pray for those that are lost right now, those that seemingly have no direction or no hope. Dear Lord, may they find you the true answer, dear Lord, that each and every one of us seek. And, dear Lord, we just praise you and we thank you, dear Lord. Give you all the honor and all the glory in the most precious name above, in the name of Jesus Christ. And we all say, amen, amen, amen. Let's give the Lord another hand clap of praise. Praise God, praise God. If you didn't come in with the Lord on your heart, coming in praising him and worshiping him, just let him just fill this house. Let his Holy Ghost just have a free ring amongst us. As we get ready to sing our congregational song, it just goes along with everything that we say is his promises to us. And it's a traditional song. I heard it this morning, and it's been on my heart since I heard it on the radio. But it's I Fly Away, I'll Fly Away. It's a beautiful old song. I want you all just to sing and worship with us, because that is a promise to his children. Praise God. Worship the Lord with us.
Fly away, fly away, fly away, fly away. Jesus.
Praise his holy name. You may be seated if you can. Turn around and just wave at somebody. Tell them you're ready and ask them, do you know Jesus? Amen. Amen, amen. Got the choir behind us. Everybody, sound like y'all want to have church this morning. Praise God. We just worship and praise him, but I really believe and I know in my heart his word is what's powerful. His word needs to go forth, and we're just going to worship the Lord. Praise God. We're going to go ahead and take up our morning offering. Yes, ma'am. Did he? Amen. Amen. We never do. We sure will. We'll keep her in our prayers. Brother Jim, would you ask the Lord to bless our morning offering, please? Yes, Lord. Amen.
Someone strong to get him through the throng. His friends, they raised the roof. They had to get through somehow. They knew the healer, Jesus, was in the house.
Tear off your roof of fear. Tear off your roof of doubt. Lay down your problems. Jesus is in the house. Tear off your roof of pain. It's time to lay it down. It's gonna be alright. Jesus is in the house.
You're overwhelmed with care. No answers anywhere. Burden so hard to bear. You need someone to share. You have no options left. By faith, just take a step now. It's gonna be alright. Jesus is in the house. Yeah.
Tear off your roof of fear. Tear off your roof of doubt. Lay down your problems. Jesus is in the house. Tear off your roof of pain. It's time to lay it down. It's gonna be alright. Jesus is in the house. He has the answers. He has all power. He is the master. He's here this very hour. He has the answers. He has all power. He is the master. He's here this very hour. Tear off your roof of fear. Tear off your roof of doubt. Lay down your problems. Jesus is in the house. Tear off your roof of pain. It's time to lay it down. It's gonna be alright. Jesus is in the house. Jesus is in the house. Jesus is in the house.
I wanted to testify before I sing. I was thinking about what that song says, that Jesus is in the house. It doesn't matter what you're facing today. Jesus is in the house to meet the need, take care of it, whatever it is. Amen. And you know, a couple weeks ago, I came up for prayer, and I didn't even come up for prayer for my body. I came up for prayer for something else. But I felt God touch my body several ways. And so I had a test to see if my stomach was empty and properly, which they told me 2 years ago that I had gastroparesis. And if you know anything about that, it generally does not end up very good. Wendy and I both know someone that's very, very sick from it. And I said, Lord, you're able to do anything. I know you can do anything. So I went to the doctor this week, and he said, I don't know, but it's perfectly normal. You don't have it anymore. So I told Chris a long time ago, I believe that God was healing my body little by little. It may not be all of a sudden, but little by little, he's doing it. And one day I know I'm going to be completely whole. So it doesn't matter what you're going through today, whether it be physically, emotionally, spiritually, whatever it is, Jesus is in the house to take care of it today. Y'all worship with us today.
I was hopeless, I knew I was lost. Death and darkness were my only songs. I needed someone to come rescue me, and mercy heard my plea. Lord, you found me. You healed me, you called me from the grave. You gave me a real love, I thank you, Jesus. You washed my sins away, and now I'm living, I got forgiven. You came to set me free. That's what your mercy did for me.
You gave my guilty stains, and now I'm living day to day by His grace. So excuse me if I can't contain my praise, 'cause I know that I've been saved.
Lord, you found me, you healed me, you called me from the grave. You gave me a real love, I thank you, Jesus. You washed my sins away.
I'm forgiven. You came to set me free. That's what your mercy did for me. And every morning, mercy will restore me. What your mercy did for me. Lord, you found me, you healed me, you called me from the grave, you gave me your real love. I thank you, Jesus, you washed my sins away, and now I'm living, I got forgiven, you came to set me free. That's what your mercy did for me. That's what your mercy did for me. That's what your mercy did for me. Lord, you found me, you healed me, you called me from the grave. You gave me a real love. I thank you, Jesus. You washed my sins away. And now I'm living. I got forgiven. You came to set me free. That's what your mercy did for me. Lord, you found me. You healed me. You called me from the grave. You gave me a real love. I thank you, Jesus. You washed my sins away. And now I'm living. I got forgiven. You came to set me free. That's what your mercy did for me. That's what your mercy did for me. That's what your mercy did for me.
Spirit of the Lord, you found me, you healed me, you raised me from the grave. That's what your mercy has done for me. Are you thankful for the mercy of the Lord this morning? Amen. Well, let me tell you about my Jesus. Come on, let me tell you about my Jesus. How many is thankful for Jesus in your life? How many thankful for what he done? Amen. If you love him with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your body, give him praise this morning. Hallelujah. You're clapping for Jesus. My, my, my. How good it is to be in the house of the Lord this morning to have fellowship with saints of God. Amen. If you love church, you're going to love heaven. Amen. If you can't sing, wait.
Thank you, Lord.
David, you're going to sing. You're going to have your place up there in the heavenly choir. You're going to be singing. Praise God. And all of us are going to be singing and glorifying and praise the Lord. But I'm not going to sing right now. I'm going to preach only with the help of the Lord. Amen. How many is blessed in the house this morning? Praise God. Yes, we are blessed above measure. If you have your Bibles this morning, go with us to the writings of the St. John in the 7th chapter. I pray the Lord will lead us and guide us this morning, that I will be nothing more than a messenger in his hands, that he will speak to us.
Oh, yes. Yes.
I said, I feel the presence of God in this place this morning. I feel a spirit of praise. Amen. There's been a spirit of depression for too long.
Amen.
There's been a spirit of oppression for too long.
Amen.
Man, folks are beginning to let the things in the world affect their spirituality, and it never should be that way. Our spirit should affect the things in the world. Amen, because that is within me. Come on, somebody. That is within me is greater than any problem or trial I'm ever going to face. Amen. I'm going to wait for just a minute. In the book of St. John, chapter number 7, verse number 37 and 38. John writes, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Can we pray? Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for another day and opportunity, God, together in one mind and one accord to worship and praise you. God, you've been such a gracious God, a merciful God. We could ever thank you enough. But Father, we do find ourselves this morning thanking you and praising you, God, for all that you've done. And by faith, all that you're going to do, we ask you now, God, to just anoint this vessel. God, speak to our hearts this morning and to our spirits. Lift us up, encourage us, God, as we read your precious word. And Father, we'll be careful to give you praise and honor and glory, for we ask it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Turn to your neighbor and say, "I'm going to heaven." How about you? Amen. That excites me. I said, I get excited thinking about heaven. Wonderful songs of heaven, the wonderful scriptures, amen, and the promise, amen, that where he is, that we're going to be there also. But this morning, the Lord has led me in this particular passage of scripture. It's been on my thoughts and on my mind constantly this week, and I pray, amen, that God can get through this vessel what he would have us to hear and understand today. And if I had a text or a message text or title, it would be simply living water, living water. Have you had an opportunity lately to look on the shelves at the water or the bottled water department? I know sometimes they get a little low. It's the supply chain, y'all. That's what it is. But normally there's various bottles of water, brand names, some very expensive. My daddy used to say, "I never thought, son, that water would be as high as gas." And there's water to be found. You could get the real expensive, or you can get the private label or whatever, but it's still water. But I thought, if in fact there was somewhere on that shelf living water, I wonder what type of price would be associated with living water. Can I tell you? It's free. Some would think it would have an extravagant price, a price too big to even afford. But I'm here today to tell you that living water is free. The price has already been paid for, bought and purchased on the cross of Calvary by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But we'll get to there in a little bit. I want to go back to the last day of that great feast, the Feast of the Tabernacles, that was full of pageantry, a lot of tradition, steeped and practiced annually by the Jewish people. It was known by the Jews as the season of our rejoicing. I'd like to bring that part back. Amen. Not just our Sunday of rejoicing, not just our revival of rejoicing, but a season, a full season of rejoicing. I've heard some people say, "I don't share a birthday day. I just share a birthday week," because they want it to go on and on. Oh, we could have a season of rejoicing, just glorifying and praising and lifting up the name of Jesus. That's what the Jewish people referred to the Feast of the Tabernacles. In fact, the Jewish people believed that the promise of the Messiah would come during this particular feast, during this season of rejoicing. They were looking for what had already come, by the way. Come on, somebody say, praise God. They couldn't understand it. They didn't see it, but they were still looking for the Messiah. And it was at the end of the religious calendar of the Jews that had started in the spring with the Passover. Allow me and forgive me for just a little bit of reading this morning. It was, in fact, the seventh and final God-ordained observance for the year. So they wanted to go out the year with a bang, certainly. And the Jewish people traveled from near and far to observe this feast. A feast which had a lot of pageantry, a lot of blowing on the ram's horn, a lot of musical observance, priests draped and robed in priestly attire. But there were certain things that the priests were required to do. In fact, a priest holding a golden pitcher would exit the temple along with a musical procession and make his way down to the pool of Siloam. And I would imagine it was a great thing to see and to witness as the Jewish people saw him going down and the priest with his golden pitcher. And then he would dip his golden pitcher into the pool of Siloam, and he, along with the musical procession, would go back to the temple, at which time he would be met by another priest with a pitcher. And his pitcher was full of wine. Somebody said, it's getting interesting now. Water don't interest me, but maybe the other part does. Come on, people. And then the two priests together would ascend to the very top of the great altar, at which time they would pour each pitcher through a silver funnel and let it run down on the altar, or the great altar. This was what was happening on the last day of that great feast of the tabernacles that Jesus, in fact, and his disciples were spectators of all of this that's going on. Can I just say, I know there's just a lot of pageantry. There's a lot of things that accompany a church service. Thank God that we're blessed with great talent and musical instruments, and God has blessed us with all of these wonderful things, and I am not discounting it whatsoever. Thank God he has placed ministers in our congregation. Wonderful, astute, blessed ministers, amen, that bring the word of God and that preach the truth. Sunday school teachers and children's leaders. But can I remind you that through the pomp and through the circumstance and through the pageantry, there is something that if it misses our services, everything else fails. If the Spirit of God is not in the service, I said if we don't allow the Spirit of God to be in our services, then everything we do, it comes to naught. Because the Spirit of God is the only thing that's going to save us, refresh us, and take us to glory. Can somebody in the house say amen? But it was a Jewish observance. This pouring of the wine and the water into the silver funnel that trickled down the great altar was to symbolize the life and joy associated with the Holy Spirit. Has anybody in the house got life and joy through the infilling of the Holy Spirit? Would you agree with me that it's life and joy that you can't find anywhere else? No matter how hard you try. People have tried all kind of avenues to get joy and to get life and to do things in their life. But if they fail to have the Spirit of God within them, they'll never receive true life or true joy. But if you've got it, raise your hand and say amen. Oh, say thank you, Jesus, for that everlasting life and joy. But it symbolized the life and joy associated with the Holy Spirit. It also had a secondary observance. And this was a reminder. How many knows we need a reminder? I got tickled this morning. I came in and sat down, and Brother Greg, who keeps me straight, came and said, where's the title? See, he doesn't read my mind and put that on the board, although you might think that's what he does. But I give to him a sticky note at which I have written the title and the scripture, and he proceeds to put it on. I failed to do so this morning, and I blamed it on, we're out of sticky notes.
And there's some truth to that, because when a lot of times I forget to, when I'm about to leave, I see the sticky note and I say, I got to give this to Greg, and I put the title and the scripture on. But there was no sticky. It wasn't my fault. Somebody didn't put sticky notes on my desk. But we'll get them. How many knows we need reminders? Come on. We need to be reminded of what Jesus did. I said, we need to be reminded that without the breath of God, we wouldn't even be here. We need to be reminded it was God who got us up out of bed this morning. We may have thought it was the wife, but it was God. At least I think it was. It might have been my wife. I don't know. But it was God to give me strength to get up. We need reminders. And in this pomp and circumstance, and in this observance, and in this pageantry, there was a reminder of what God did in the wilderness. He did a lot of things. But when the children of Israel were dying of thirst, they'd fussed about everything else, the heat, the bugs, the snakes, the spiders, the long trip, should have left us back. But when it got to where they needed water, they couldn't live without water. How many knows that I could probably live for about a month and a half on not eating nothing? But I need water. Who laughed at that? Some of you could live too much without it. And the children of Israel were dying of thirst. And God gave them water out of a rock. A rock. Amen. So they were reminded of this. And as I said earlier, one of the spectators in all of this pageantry was a Jewish person who was of the house and the lineage of David, whose birth was foretold by the prophet Isaiah, who was told that his name will be called Mighty God, Wonderful, Everlasting Father, who happened to be in this particular audience. And as Jesus was there with the disciples, and he had told them time and time again, the end is soon approaching when I will ascend and I will leave you. And this was one day and one festival closer to the time when Jesus would die on the cross of Calvary. Now, I don't believe this was Jesus' first observance of the Feast of Tabernacles, because it was, in fact, so near to his crucifixion. So in my way of thinking, being a Jewish boy, he'd seen it time and time and time again. But I think he got to a point where he just had to say something. Have you ever gotten to that point? You know, as Christians, we're taught to be meek and mild and humble and submissive. But at some point, we got to say something. We got to speak up, especially concerning salvation and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Jesus probably saw the pitchers being poured simultaneously through the beautiful silver funnel running picturesque over, are you getting the picture? Over the altar, trickling down. Running water is beautiful, isn't it? Has ever seen a big waterfall and just, it just, you know, it's just picturesque. And Jesus cried out. I don't think he whispered it to his disciples. Whew. It's a whole nother sermon I'm getting here. Church, there will come a time, and I think it's soon approaching, when the church is going to have to cry out. Regardless of who's listening, regardless of who it offends, regardless of the political correctness that the world is so caught up in, there's going to come a time when somebody's got to stand up and cry out, you must be born again. Only way to heaven is through Jesus. That's not my salvation, that's His salvation. Jesus stood and cried. We had an evangelist that I'll never forget the message he preached, that blind Bartimaeus, and he cried out. And this evangelist had a strong voice anyway, but he would scream to the top of his lungs, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me," with a microphone. And you know, those that were paying attention and those that were asleep, but there was a purpose why he wanted them to hear. I believe Bartimaeus wanted Jesus to hear him, don't you? I believe Jesus wanted every Jewish person, every priest, every person who was at the temple to hear what he was about to say. Jesus speaks, we need to listen. And he stood and he cried, saying, "If any man," oh, glory to God, that makes me want to shout. I ain't Jewish. I wasn't born in Israel. I was born in Cedartown, Georgia. A Polk County redneck. No, I was just there because Mom was there spending time with her granddaddy, with my granddaddy, because Daddy was shipping out to Korea. We were actually Carroll County folks, tried and true. Been there for a long time. And when I used to go to school, everybody said, "Where's you born?" I said, "Cedartown." They say, "Cedartown? Yeah, what are you doing in Villarica?" "I don't know, just got there." Just woke up and there I was. Amen. But I'm not Jewish. I'm not an Israelite. But how many knows the door of salvation has been opened up to the Gentiles? I am any man. You are any man, any woman, making it plural, that whosoever will have access to this living water. Jesus opened it up to all of us. He said, "If any man thirst," you got a thirst. You got a thirst. Come on, church, it needs to get thirsty. Holy Ghost tanks need to get thirsty. Thirsty for a move of God. Thirsty for souls to be saved. Thirsty for the gospel of Christ. Amen. To be shared and to be preached and to be proclaimed. Folks, I'm telling you, I'm not prophesying, but I'm telling you, according to the word of God, we ain't got a long time. Wait till you see what he's prepared for those who were thirsty and received of that living water. But he said, "If any man thirst, let him come to the temple pay his tithe and offering, sign the ledger, shake his hand, send in a note saying, 'I want to be a member of your church.'" No, all of that is pomp and circumstance. All of that is pageantry. Until you kneel at an altar, it doesn't have to be this altar. You can kneel by your bench. You can kneel by your couch at church. You can kneel by the old oak tree in the back 40. Wherever you get in touch with God and open up your heart's door and say, "Fill me with that living water," you become a child of God. Glory to God. Somebody say, "Thank you, Jesus." I don't know where it got that we have to be in church to get saved. Jesus is everywhere. But I will add this. When you get saved, you need to be in church. Amen. To get somebody else saved. "He that believeth on me as the scripture hath said, out of his belly." Now he's getting spiritual here. "Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Now we know that from Jesus the living water flows. But he says, if you believe, out of your belly. Jesus, you love us that much that you would fill us with that living water, and then allow that living water to be so full and vibrant and powerful in our spirit that it can actually flow. That makes me feel good. I said, that makes me get excited to know that Jesus loves that much, that he has filled us with his Spirit to give us a never-ending water supply, if you will, spiritually water. Belly signifying our innermost being. Man, our innermost being. That spiritual blessing and anointing that is within us. That's the reason I have to get onto my flesh sometimes. Because my flesh sometimes thinks it's all about him. And I have to remind him, and he don't like it. Flesh and blood is not going to inherit the kingdom of God. And he goes, but that spirit jumps within me. Amen. I'm going to give you an analogy here. Try to. Out on an old bush, there is one of the ugliest, vilest creatures that God ever spoke into existence. And on this clinging limb is something that no one really wants to touch, except maybe some old crow or bird might want to eat it. But we say, ooh. And then by and by, somebody say, by and by. That old songwriter said, by and by. That old cocoon-looking yucky thing burst open. And some of the most beautiful wings come out and begin to flutter. That's just a type and shadow of what's going to happen when God calls his children home. The flesh will go back to the dust of the earth, but that that comes out of us is going to be adorned with the beauty of heaven. Somebody ought to say praise the Lord, especially us ugly people. I'm going to be beautiful one of these days when I take up my abode in heaven with Jesus. Out of my belly, out of your belly, flows rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given. The Holy Ghost, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. But it was about to take place. And from his sacrifice, he said, I won't leave you comfortless, but I will send a comforter in my name. And you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. The force of water itself. Water over periods of years, of centuries, has reshaped rocks that you and I with a pick and shovel could never ever do. Smoothed out the hard places, made them shiny and smooth. Why? Because it's ever flowing, never stopping. The persistency of a Holy Ghost-filled saint of God may go through rough times, may travel over hard rocks, crevices, logs may be thrown down in their way, but nothing stops the force of the water. Nothing stops the force. Out of the belly is going to flow living water. Amen. Through good times, as Brother Chris said, through bad times, through sickness, through affliction, through well days, whatever it is, that persistency of that water is going to flow. That Holy Ghost, that anointed water, that spiritual thing that I'm talking about, that is within each and one of us believers. Amen. Aren't you glad that it's there within you? Sometimes we need to be reminded that the power that is within us can withstand and overcome anything that the adversary puts in front of us. Amen. Praise God. Because the Holy Ghost was not yet given. Let's go forward in time for just a little bit into the book of St. John, chapter number 19 and verse number 28. This was after the apprehension of Christ in the garden, as Judas betrayed him with a kiss. The 30 pieces of silver had already been exchanged. And those bands of soldiers came, and Jesus' followers sort of split. They've taken him now to Pilate, and they've taken him now. And the people said, you know, give us Barabbas, crucify Jesus. It's at that time, and he's on the cross. And this is probably nearing the very end of Jesus' existence as man, but not as God. He was robed in flesh. And because of the cruel crucifixion, I don't know if the sun was bearing down. I imagine that it was. If it wasn't, if it was cold, it was terrible conditions to be hanging on the cross. The body perspiring. You know what dehydration is. Maybe this was the point that Jesus was. And it said in verse number 28, after this, he told John, behold thy mother, mother, behold thy son. In other words, take care of my mother, because I will not be here in the form of a body. Knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now the Bible is full of analogies and symbolic gestures of what water and spirit means. And many times, the Old Testament prophets referred to it. Psalms, David's writing, and Jesus spoke of it as well. And I find it quite extraordinary that Jesus used these two words as some of his last spoken words on earth. And he said, I thirst. And you know that some of them there mixed some vinegar and water, and I heard that was traditional or something to help the dry. I don't know. But I think there's two ways of thinking here, and I think they both actually are parallel and run together. May I share them with you today? This is not anything but just my observation and my opinion. If we believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, we believe that he was part man, he was part God. He was part man because a spirit cannot, in fact, bleed and die. There had to be blood atonement. God sent his Son, his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That Son had to be that Isaac that Abraham was about to sacrifice, and God just tested him, but he drew back the knife. But God allowed his own Son to be killed. The man part, not the spirit. Because there had to be blood. That's the reason there had to be a virgin birth, conceived of by the Holy Ghost. I hope you Bible readers, this is not over your head. It's not. It's simple to be. Man has confused it. Man has complicated it. They're trying to make salvation one of the hardest things in the world when Jesus made it one of the simplest. Put your hands together if you're thankful for what Jesus did. But even as he hung on the cross, he was still part God. He was still part man. And I believe that man said, I thirst. My body thirst. But I want you to look at it in a spiritual connotation. Maybe the spirit that was within him said, I thirst to be glorified. I thirst to be able to send back the Holy Ghost in my name. I can't do it as long as I'm in flesh. I can walk with man, but I can't walk in man. Glory to God. But what's about to happen, I'm not only going to be with man, I'm going to be in man. I'm going to dwell in the innermost parts of somebody who is a believer. Every believer shout, thank you, Jesus. Because he thirsted to have his body glorified. And the Bible doesn't say he died. He says he gave up the ghost. That ghost, that spirit is still alive and well today. Hallelujah. How do I know? Because he dwells right here. And out of this belly, the spiritual belly, flows living water. Just the term excites me, living water. See, because the water that we observe, it's flowing water, but it's not living water. So I take you back to the grocery store shelves. What would it be worth to have living water? We have a hard time filling up churches trying to give it away. Jesus paid the price for you and for me. If in fact you have not taken advantage and received that spirit within you, that free living water that Christ himself gave, then I ask you, why are you waiting? Because we, you and I, neither one have the promise of tomorrow. Today could be our last day on this earth. The next breath that I breathe could be my very last. But thank God that's all right. Because I know where I'm going. Not because of who I am, but because of who he is. Not because of what I've done, but because of what he did. Would you stand all over the house, please? If you musicians would come back. We were requested to sing this particular song. Where will you be a million years from now? Because you're going to be living somewhere, not in the flesh, but your spirit is going to dwell for an eternity. The Bible speaks of that. There's only two destinations. One is in that glorified place that Jesus himself is going to prepare. The other is that terrible place that we refer to as hell, to burn forever and to remember every opportunity that we didn't take advantage of to ask Jesus Christ into our life. With every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe if. Where will you be a million years from now? Will you be happy? Will you be singing while ages roll throughout eternity? I ask this question, where will you be? Where will you be a million years from now? Will you be happy? And will you be singing while ages roll throughout eternity? I ask this question. Please, every head bowed, every person, every saint of God praying. It's God calling, knocking at your heart's door. This could be your day, your opportunity to receive of that life-giving water, that eternal spirit that dwells within us. I'm going to sing this chorus one more time, and I'm going to close the service. If the Holy Ghost can't move you, I can't. You must be drawn, I know that, to the Spirit of God. And if God is tugging at your heart now, why don't you answer that call? Where will we be a million years from now? Church, will we be happy? Will we be singing while ages roll throughout eternity? I ask this question, where will you be? Every head bowed, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we feel that we have delivered what you've laid upon our heart. God, I pray that it will not return void. I pray that it will accomplish that you purposed. Father, I pray that we would all bind together in unity, praying one for another, lifting one another up. Father, I pray if there's anyone here under the sound of my voice today that does need to repent and be saved. You give them an ample time, an opportunity, Lord. Let them not neglect to take advantage. Father, I pray your will today, God, as we begin to get ready to depart. I want to open this altar now. If you just need prayer, if you just need healing, if you just need a refreshing, this altar is open to you as well, and we'll pray with you. Is there anyone today who stands in need of prayer? If not, if you have a prayer request for somebody, lift your hand. I see that, and I'm going to be praying, and God sees that. God bless you. We love you. Have a blessed day.
Where will you be? Thank the Lord for that living water, for His promise to each and every one of us. Praise God. This altar is open. Anyone watching online, if you have a prayer request, I know we say it constantly, but I feel like there are those that haven't maybe listened to our service before, but please put your prayer request in the comment category and we'll be honored to pray with you. Is all well? All is well. Praise God. What a powerful message. Powerful word of God as we celebrate each and every time we get an opportunity to hear His word. Well, all righty. Just want to invite each and every one of you back to our service this evening. Please come join us. Be in much prayer for a mighty move of God as we always do. Invite somebody. Just give them that opportunity to come. Sometimes we all just need to be, somebody just ask us. Let them know how much we love them. So praise the Lord. Alrighty, with this prayer, we're going to be dismissed. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just love you. Lord, we thank you for the feeling of your holy presence for us, for the Lord, for allowing us to be a part of this service this morning, dear Lord, as we celebrate this beautiful day you've given us. But most of all, dear Lord, for your salvation. Lord, we ask now that you'll bless our pastor and his family. Strengthen them as they go about your work and your will. Dear Lord, may we be those vessels that your light can shine through. Lord, as we prepare to depart, dear Lord, we ask you to keep us safe. Bring us back at our appointed time, dear Lord. We also thank you for our children's church, dear Lord, for all the ministries that go forth out of our church. And we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen, amen. Let's give the Lord one hand clap.